It's called protein degradation. And if you're a bad protein in a cancer cell, you'd better get your affairs in order. Because now, thanks to Dana-Farber's foundational work, protein degradation can target cancer-causing proteins and destroy them, right inside the cell. This take-no-prisoners approach is making a difference in multiple myeloma and other blood cancers, and is how Dana-Farber is working to treat previously untreatable cancers. Learn more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Airbus's boss airs his discontent over how much progress they've made going green. Hello, and you're listening to the Marketplace Morning Report. Live from the BBC World Service, I'm Leanna Byrne. Good morning. Aviation is responsible for around 2% of global carbon emissions. That's according to the International Energy Agency. And the industry is under pressure to develop greener engines. But is it going fast enough? Well, the boss of Airbus, as the world's biggest commercial airplane maker, doesn't think so. Guillaume Faury has been speaking to my colleague Felicity Hanna, and she started by asking if Airbus will hit its target of flying hydrogen-powered planes by 2035.
Yes, the technology will be ready. This technology is not a brand new technology. What is new is to bring it to commercial aviation. There are three main areas where we need to be ready. One is the product, so the technologies and the product. Then we have to deal as well with the new regulatory framework that needs to be invented and put in place. And we need as well the regulatory framework to certify a hydrogen plane.
Do you agree that perhaps one key way to reduce emissions will be for people to fly less?
No, I don't agree with this. Planes are fantastic modes of transport, but we have the challenge of carbon, and it's on us to find a way to combine growth, demand for aviation, with the constraints or with the urgency to address climate change and therefore accelerating on decarbonization of aviation. Ultimately, I want our children and grandchildren to be able to enjoy flying on the planet. I think that's very useful and important for the human community living in peace together on this planet. But we have to be very fast on decarbonizing those products, and that's what Airbus is very committed to delivering to the humankind.
You talked about your children and grandchildren. Are you confident that you're moving fast enough?
No, we are not moving fast enough. Climate change is an urgency, and I would love to be able to go faster. And that's why we've put sustainability front and center at Airbus. That's why we are advocating. That's why we want to play the role of catalyst in the industry, outside of the industry, to accelerate the transition to SAF and to decarbonize technologies. That's what we're trying to do. And I am absolutely convinced, as a community inside aerospace and outside, we are not fast enough.
Airbus boss Guillaume Faury speaking to Felicity Hanna. Now, let's do the numbers. Japan's Nikkei closed 1.1% short of its all-time high, and its other index, the TOPIX, closed up 1.2%, and European stocks are on the up too. Europe's region-wide Stoxx 600 is up 0.6%, and Germany's DAX is also up. Now, it's election time in India in a few months. It's the world's largest democracy. But the country's main opposition Congress Party is caught up in a tax dispute. Its bank accounts, with $25 million in them, had been frozen by the Income Tax Department. But they've now been unfrozen after it filed an appeal. The BBC's Yogita Limai reports.
The Congress Party has said its accounts were frozen for tax compliance issues from 2019. A spokesman said they discovered that banks were not releasing their money 2 days ago. After a petition to a tax tribunal, the accounts are now accessible, but the Congress Party has been told to keep a minimum balance of nearly $14 million at all times, which it says is an effective freezing of funds. The Congress has accused the ruling BJP party of using state machinery to damage their prospects in the upcoming election. The Income Tax Department and the BJP are yet to respond to the accusations.
You get a Limar there. It's almost the weekend, so you might have some plans to be at a ticketed event. Well, you may have been subject to dynamic pricing. This is when companies adjust prices in real time to match market changes. The BBC's Gideon Long has been looking into this, and I asked him to explain why this pricing strategy has become so popular.
The dilemma that retailers face is this. If they set prices for their tickets really high, then they open themselves up to the accusation that they're taking advantage of their fans. But if they set them too low, then what happens? Ticket touts or scalpers buy up the tickets and they sell them on the secondary market. And the same is true in the music industry. And it's been a real problem for a lot of top artists like Taylor Swift and Bruce Springsteen. I spoke to Dean Budnick. He's a music journalist based in the US. And he's the co-author of a book called Ticketmasters, The Rise of the Concert Industry and How the Public Got Scalped. And I asked him what the solution to this problem is.
The reason why we have dynamic pricing is because these tickets are being resold at such a high markup. So what one could do, hypothetically, if governments wish to take this action, is they could limit the resale price of tickets.
That's interesting, but it's not just in events, right? It's everywhere.
Yeah, it is. So that's the music industry, but I've also been looking at dynamic pricing on the Indian railway system, for example. So a few years back, the company that operates the railways introduced a dynamic pricing model. It was a fairly crude one. It basically meant that the earlier you booked your ticket, the cheaper it was. But a lot of passengers in India aren't happy about it, saying they can't really plan their journeys that far in advance, and that ultimately this punishes the poorest people in society who really rely on trains in India to get around and can't always choose when they travel, especially when they're traveling to work.
Gideon, it really sounds like there's a need for regulation in this space.
So many people say that it does need to be brought in, particularly because technology now means that retailers can use algorithms to change the prices for their goods and services over and over again, every day, every hour, every minute, if they want to. I spoke to James Daly. He's the head of a consumer rights group here in the UK called Fairer Finance.
There are no boundaries really around this at the moment, and there's no transparency around what's going into these pricing algorithms. You know, if this stuff is going to stay, there needs to be some rules around what is the limit, what is not acceptable, and also some transparency for customers so they understand the rules.
James Daly ending that report. And finally, Sir Paul McCartney's stolen bass guitar used on iconic Beatles hits like Love Me Do and She Loves You has finally been found after 51 years. It turns out it was hidden away in an attic and it's estimated to be worth many millions. I guess it's going to get back to where it once belonged. I'm Leanna Byrne with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
Hey everyone, it's Rima Khreis, host of This Is Uncomfortable. If you're looking for some good recommendations on books to read, well, you should join This Is Uncomfortable's Summer Book Club. Every other week in our newsletter, we'll share a new book that'll make you rethink your relationship to money, class, and work, while also featuring an interview with the author or an expert on the topic. Plus, when you join, you'll be entered in a giveaway where you could win some This Is Uncomfortable merch. Be sure to check it out. Sign up today at marketplace.org/bookclub.